Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, now the tourists in Yellowstone National Park, they want to get real technical on us. These guys are real sneaky now, aren't they? Oh, man. You know, I saw this headline earlier this morning. Our friends at KJJR Radio in the Flathead sent me this story from foxweather.com, and I thought it was an old headline. I was like, oh, that's from like 3 years ago. I first saw this headline. I was like, oh, no, that's old news. No, it's not old news, because then I looked a little closer. It's not a bison this time. It's an elk this time. You remember like 3-4 years ago, when was that? And you had the tourist put the bison calf in the back of his rental car. I think he tried to drive it to Bozeman, if I remember. He tried to drive it somewhere. But anyway, he thought the poor little bison calf was cold out there in the environment, and thought that maybe the park rangers needed a little help getting the bison calf back to his cage for the evening, and so he put it in the back of his rental car. Anyway, now there's a new story out. I was going to open up the show this morning by telling you that we've now entered round 3 of the annual bison games in Yellowstone National Park. But this isn't a bison. Here we go. Yellowstone tourists put baby elk in car and drive it to police station. I got to find the printout for you here. I'm just looking at what I shared via Twitter here earlier this morning. I swear I printed up the whole story here, but it's buried in Wall Street Journal coverage. And a few other headlines for you here that we're going to talk about this morning. But basically, apparently what these guys did, somebody must have snagged my printout. All right, I thought my stack was a little light this morning. Anyway, apparently what these guys did is they put an elk calf in the back of their car, and they drove it to, I think, one of the ranger stations. But apparently they released it, and the elk calf had run off into the woods. So it ran off into the woods. So no word now if park rangers are going to be forced by the Biden administration to go track that elk calf down so they can be sure to kill it before it gets killed by the wolves out in the forest first. But, oh man. But isn't it just comical? Here we've got these tourists in Yellowstone National Park. You know, this is how I imagine their message is going to the national park officials over the weekend. Well, hey, you told us we couldn't put a bison calf in the back of our car. You didn't tell us not to put an elk calf in the back of our car. I mean, come on. All we saw were all these news stories about don't touch the bison. Don't put the bison in the back of your rental car. You didn't tell us not to put an elk calf in the back of our car. Yeah, they did. They just said, they basically said, don't touch any of the wildlife. Just leave all of the wildlife alone. But here you go. You got tourists trying to be technical now. They aren't just happy with the annual bison games. They want the elk games, all sorts of stuff. All right. What a bunch of jokers. Did they have Washington plates? I want to know where these license plates came from. That's what I really want to know more than anything else. I just want to know where in what state they came from. Or country. I mean, it is Yellowstone after all. All right, lots to get to here. 2940970, the number for
you. Here's your Montana news. A Billings man pled guilty to distributing child pornography via social media. Stetson Wee Hubbard will be sentenced in September and may receive 5 to 20 years. The arrest came from a 2020 investigation by law enforcement who searched for social media public groups interested in child porn, then infiltrated the groups with a fictitious profile. Core 8 reports that in one such group, the pornography was distributed from an account that was then traced to Hubbard. Police found more child porn on his phone. 3 people were injured in 2 separate stabbing attacks in Billings over the weekend. The first occurred late Saturday night on Windsor Circle North in the Heights, where a man and a woman received wounds. This incident is under investigation. KTVQ reports the second assault occurred very early Sunday morning on Minnesota Avenue in downtown Billings, where a man and a suspect were in a physical altercation. Suspect is under arrest. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Lee.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see some sunshine across the area today, along with some late-day showers and storms developing around the area. High temperature readings will stay from the mid-70s in Bozeman to about 83 in Billings. for tonight. Still looking at scattered showers and a few storms around, mainly early on. And then temperatures fall off to about 51 in Bozeman to the upper 50s in Billings. Tuesday's outlook calls for some sunshine and then some afternoon showers and storms. High temperatures to 77 in Bozeman, about the mid-80s in Billings. Still seeing this unsettled weather into midweek and really through the end of it, with more scattered shower storm chances mainly early Tuesday night. Low temperatures at 53 to 59 in Billings. And then for Wednesday, with some breaks of sunshine and some more afternoon showers and storms, highs in the 70s and 80s. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, if you want to see that story about the latest from the tourists in Yellowstone National Park putting an elk calf in the car this time, that's the latest from foxweather.com. I shared that via Twitter. Go to twitter.com/AaronFlint. While you're there, check this one out. I'm glad that I went in to look at some of what I shared via Twitter over the weekend. This one also was published by Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke, the congressman for the Western District. He says this: is this a purposeful move to keep tribes in poverty? Talking about our tribes here in Montana and elsewhere across the country. Here's a headline that Congressman Zinke shared. I believe this is a FoxNews.com headline. Biden administration issues 20-year oil drilling ban near indigenous sites, ignoring pleas from Native Americans. So here you have these liberal supremacists. You have these white liberals in Washington, D.C., who think they're smarter than you. They think they're better than you. And they think that you Native Americans need to listen to what old Whitey in Washington has to say here. They see these white liberals like pasty old Joe here, who just fell on his face last week at the Air Force Academy. They think that they know better about your land than you do. They think they know what's best for your people. They think they know what's best for all people. So they think they should just be able to unilaterally come in and just shut this down. Congressman Ryan Zinke says, is this a purposeful move to keep tribes in poverty? The Biden administration says they support Indian country, but the Biden administration is waging an economic war against tribes like the Navajo, the Utes, and the Crow. Natives want to develop their resources and lift their people out of poverty, but Biden bans it. Yeah, Biden administration issues 20-year oil drilling ban near indigenous sites, ignoring pleas from Native Americans. The Navajo Nation said its members would be pushed into greater poverty if the Biden administration moved forward with this action. You know, isn't it interesting that what news was announced over the past few days? Saudi Arabia announced OPEC production cuts. They're going to try to cut production so they can try to cut prices once again, or so they can try to raise prices once again. So here you got the Saudis cutting oil production over in Saudi Arabia to try to raise prices on you here in America. And unfortunately, our own administration in the White House is doing the same thing, ordering cuts here in America to raise prices on you and to keep people in poverty. See if you pay more for energy, then they can keep pushing their green energy scam, and they can keep putting money in the pockets of white liberals who benefit from these pay to play schemes known as green energy. And then they can also keep people in poverty, especially in Indian country, and then they can keep they hope that you then keep voting for them. Because see, if more people are dependent on the federal government, if more people are dependent on white liberals in Washington, then instead of allowed to develop your own resources and have your own economic sovereignty through energy resources in particular, well, I mean, if you were economically sovereign and you weren't dependent on a bunch of white liberals in Washington, I mean, Why would you vote for Democrats? So the white liberals in Washington want to keep people held down. They want to keep people held in poverty. They want to prevent you from having economic sovereignty so that you can be economically dependent on Democrats in Washington, so that when liberal Senator John Tester comes up for re-election next year, you get reservation after reservation after reservation in Montana that has to roll over and cave and vote for one of the biggest white liberals in Washington. And no, I'm not talking about his waistline. Come on, guys. No, I'm saying he's one of the biggest white liberals in Washington because of the way he votes, because of his politics. Speaking of liberal Senator John Tester, I saw this while I was doing the show prep this morning here. I saw that Joe Manchin, the Democrat senator from West Virginia, he was praising Republicans. He was thanking Speaker McCarthy. Joe Manchin is getting his pipeline. Think about everything Joe Manchin has done. And Joe Manchin is finally getting his pipeline thanks to these NEPA permitting reforms that House Republicans were able to get as a part of this debt ceiling deal. I mean, think of it. So Joe Biden's getting a pipeline. How come John Tester isn't getting a pipeline? I mean, John Tester has just as much, if not more, power than Joe Manchin. So why isn't John Tester bragging about getting a pipeline? I mean, he claims he supports that one pipeline in eastern Montana that would have brought in $100 million a year, potentially, every single year to eastern Montana. He said he supported it, voted against it when it really mattered the most, but why didn't he get a pipeline out of this deal? Oh, maybe because John Tester never actually supported the pipeline to begin with. Maybe because John Tester was just feeding you a whole line of BS so that some of you union guys who still vote for Democrats would think, oh yeah, he's one of those good Democrats that are still up. No! He never supported the Keystone XL pipeline. The guy has been a radical environmental activist, and he's surrounded himself by these radical environmental nut jobs on his staff ever since he was first elected in 2006. So why isn't John Tester announcing that he got a pipeline? Because he never wanted the pipeline to be built in the first place. Or he'd be bragging like Joe Manchin right now. But he's not. Because he's more like Chuck Schumer than he is like Joe Manchin. All right, phone lines are open for you. 294-0970.
With the Daybreak Ag Report with the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordlund. The U.S. has moved to a full-blown trade dispute with Mexico over its biotechnology GMO decree. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative on Friday announced its request dispute settlement consultations with Mexico under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement. Mexico continues to argue its recent decree that bans imports of genetically modified corn for food use does not violate its trade commitments. Mexico's president declared in 2020 that Mexico would be phasing out imports of certain ag biotechnology products, including GMO corn, in the year 2025. Initially, the United States tried to forego a dispute with Mexico through negotiations. U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai told Senate lawmakers 2 months ago that vigorous enforcement of trade agreement commitments such as the USMCA are vital to farmers' and ranchers' success in the United States.
We are urging Mexico to address our concerns with agricultural biotechnology. We recently requested technical consultations with Mexico under the USMCA, and we will continue to consider all options available under that agreement to fix this problem.
Mexico would not negotiate, so at this point, the issue has become a full-blown trade dispute, and a process will take place to put 3 to 5 people on a trade dispute panel from both the Mexico and the U.S., that will examine evidence and hear oral testimony from both Mexico and the U.S. Once the panel delivers a verdict, the party that is found to have violated its obligations under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement will have 45 days to settle the dispute. If a settlement isn't reached in that window, the winning party can impose tariffs on the ag products, such as GMO corn. According to the U.S. Trade Representative's office, if the panel were to rule in favor of Mexico, it would stifle American ag exports and innovation. Superior Livestock Auctions Corn Belt Classic is heading to South Sioux City, Nebraska, June 7th through the 8th. with an offering of over 64,500 head. You can bid visiting SLA TV, Dish Channel 997, and SuperiorClickToBid.com. View the video catalog and also the regions of cattle selling on June 7th and 8th for Superior Livestock Auctions Corn Belt Classic. Visit SuperiorLivestock.com for more.
Why do tacos get their own day of the week? Is it because Mondays are so rough? We need a Tuesday filled with beefy tortillas shared with good friends. If so, why don't we have Wellington Wednesdays, Stroganoff Saturdays, and heck, Meatball Mondays? Then, Mondays would just be another reason to enjoy our favorite beef with our favorite people. Together, we bring more. Beef. It's what's for dinner. Funded by Beef Farmers and Ranchers.
The Bureau of Land Management has or will host just 5 public meetings to gather feedback on their recently proposed land management conservation rule that some say could preempt other multi-uses on the nation's public lands. Nevada rancher and director of the Nevada Department of Agriculture, J.J. Goycochea, shared his concerns to a congressional panel.
The BLM claims that the proposal would put conservation use on par with other uses under FLTMA, but the rule doesn't level the field. It makes it so that conservation leases would be far more powerful than any other use. The proposed rule would give conservation and these leases the ability to prevent other users from accessing and using public lands if the use is incompatible with the conservation lease.
Western ranchers say the BLM has not provided enough public meeting opportunities, with just 5, the last occurring today from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. virtually. You can find more information by visiting westernagnetwork.com. I'm Wayne Blunt.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I was scrolling through more of the headlines that I printed up here as part of my stack of stuff on Monday morning. It's the nickel pickle. The nickel pickle. I just got a kick out of this headline. Electric vehicle makers confront the nickel pickle. Large amounts of the mineral are needed for electric car batteries, but getting it out of the ground and refining it often requires clearing rainforests and generating large amounts of carbon. So, yeah, if you want to have electric vehicles to save the climate, you're going to have to clear a whole bunch of rainforests, and you're going to pump a lot of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. This is where you got to do another one of those Mark Levin moments. Mr. Producer, I thought the climate alarmists were telling us that carbon dioxide is what is causing global warming, even when it's 40 below zero for pert near the entire month of February. So why are they going to do something that would require more environmental harm, more environmental degradation, and apparently more carbon dioxide, all in the name of saving the climate from global warming? Electric vehicle makers confront the nickel pickle. Geez, good night. That's a headline in the Wall Street Journal here this morning. I'll have to see if there's some numbers in particular that we can pull out of that one for you. Let's see. What should we get to here this morning? First off, hey, big news over the weekend. You know, just the continued rainfall that continued pouring all across a wide swath of Montana. You know, driving back, I went to Missoula for a niece's graduation over the weekend, and great ceremony and great speakers. You know, the high school kids, it's amazing how they will pick better speakers than what the university will shove down your throat when you go to the campus for a graduation ceremony. Also kind of interesting, I was asking some of the kids, hey, where are kids going? What are they doing after school? Where are they going for college? And even apparently a lot of the high school kids in Missoula are going to Bozeman for college. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Like, why would so many Missoula kids be going to Bozeman for college? And anyway, one of the kids said, oh, well, they're still Grizz fans, but they're going to Missoula, or they're going to Bozeman for college. Oh, that's kind of interesting. Meanwhile, I'm driving past a homeless encampment right on Broadway in Missoula. Yeah, massive homeless encampment right across from what used to be the YWCA. Thankfully, I don't think the women are still staying in that shelter. They had to kick them out somewhere else. But yeah, there were people out there, you know, grilling It looked like it literally Missoula, this Broadway, downtown Missoula, and Broadway in particular, with all the homeless transient folks and the tent city that was set up. It looked like what I saw in Seattle during a flight layover several months ago here. Is that an REI tent sale? No, that's homeless people. That's the transients that are coming to places like Missoula, Montana, because they're encouraged to come there and take advantage of all the resources.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A small plane that crashed in Virginia, killing all four people on board, had flown from Tennessee to New York, then turned around. Fox's Alexandria Hoff.
F-16 jets were scrambled and authorized to travel at supersonic speeds to intercept a private aircraft that had begun to breach Washington, D.C.'s restricted airspace. The pilot of the Cessna Citation was unresponsive.
One of the fighter pilots saw the Cessna's pilot passed out. The Navy's released video of a Chinese warship cutting across the path of an American warship in the Taiwan Strait. China claims that Taiwan is its territory.
General Li Shanfu telling a defense forum in Singapore the U.S. needs to act with sincerity to stabilize relations. His American counterpart Lloyd Austin at the same summit warning the U.S. will not flinch in the face of bullying or coercion.
Fox's Jonathan Savage, the destroyer slowed down to avoid a collision. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, before I started talking about Tent City in Missoula, you know, by the way, if you see the crime headlines that are coming out of Missoula on a weekly basis, so often those crime stories are connected to the criminal element among this transient population. You know, rapes, murders, other, you know, violent attacks, drugs, etc., so often around this criminal element that they recruit to move into Missoula as part of this interstate transient population that moves from woke city to woke city, taking advantage of all the resources that they offer up. Yeah, you would have thought it was like an REI tent sale because there were some fancy tents in there. You know, in places like Austin, Texas, and Portland and Seattle, these liberal outfits will actually outfit them with really fancy tents. Before I got talking about that, the flooding that some of you may have witnessed firsthand or experienced firsthand, the water system in Billings got so overwhelmed that there were flooded streets. In fact, they were out fishing. They broke out the fishing poles on Shiloh Road on the Billings West End over the weekend. There was so much water and flooded streets. There was a big sinkhole that had formed on Gable Road, which is the big kind of a big retail slash industrial sector on the West End, closer to the interstate. For those of you listening in Bozeman that aren't as familiar with Billings, the National Weather Service office out of Billings said that the Billings Airport was already up to 4 inches of rain for the month of June, even though we were only 4 days in. So saying that this guarantees a wetter than normal June and the 15th wettest June on record, at least. Wettest June on record was 7.64 inches in 1944, according to the National Weather Service office out of Billings. In fact, I was a little nervous. I mentioned we were off in Missoula for a family member's graduation, and we had people on our street that their basements were flooded. Our house, we kind of have like, we don't have a flat yard. Our yard is kind of at an angle, but I think that's partly what that and a sump pump probably saved us from the basement flooding. But I know a lot of people had, you know, cars that got destroyed by some of the flooding on the far west end of Billings. And then when driving back in from Missoula, I mean, you could see some of the neighbors had to tear out all their carpet. They were cutting out all the carpet from their basements. And so you just see stacks of carpet piled up out on their driveways and everything. So yeah, rough weekend for a lot of folks who were dealing with the flooding that took place. From the, you know, the groundwater being saturated and the ditches being saturated and then the water drainage system being overwhelmed in parts of the city as well. Got a full report. By the way, you can see the video of the people fishing at the Shiloh Crossing intersection right over by, you know, where all the big shops are at. The big Shields is there and everything, but totally dry now, but so much water that people were fishing off Shiloh Road over the weekend. Video highlights, National Weather Service tidbits, and more, MontanaTalks.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute. Universities face existential challenges, it said. Employers are increasingly seeing college degrees as unnecessary for their jobs, it's also said. Perhaps some of these things are true, at least for some universities and for some degrees. But this is also true. More, not less, young people say they want to go to college. And the payoff in terms of increased lifetime earnings for those who graduate continues to grow. A graduate receiving a four-year degree in Montana today can expect to earn about $860,000 more in inflation-corrected dollars over their working lifetime than if they'd stopped their education in high school. Our research shows those earnings gains occur in the future, it's true, while the costs of college are incurred today. And so economists commonly apply what's called a discount rate to reflect the fact that benefits in the future are worth less. Doing this, we get a present value of college education of $575,000. That's a statistic that needs to be part of the conversation about college's worth. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
Saturday, a Chinese ship in the Taiwan Strait came within 150 yards of a U.S. destroyer conducting joint exercises with a Canadian ship in international waters. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin discussed the Chinese during a security conference in Singapore.
The United States does not seek a new Cold War, and competition must not spill over into conflict.
Last week, a Chinese fighter jet buzzed an American reconnaissance plane in international airspace. Austin reiterating that while the U.S. does not want confrontation,
we will not flinch in the face of bullying or coercion.
Some, though, want a tougher stance on China after actions dating back to the spy balloon, which traveled across the country several months ago. House Intelligence Committee Chairman, Republican Congressman Mike Turner of Ohio, on ABC's This Week.
The administration needs to step up and make clear that China has identified itself as an adversary, and we're going to treat it as such.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, speaking of the tent city that I drove past in downtown Missoula, right on Broadway. Yeah, in addition to that, I mean, you'll see, you know, kind of the back alley campers as well scattered all over the place. In lots of places across the Garden City of Missoula. So it wasn't just that one tent city that was across from some of the expansive homeless shelters. They've got, you know, multiple homeless shelter buildings all across Missoula because, you know, they, if we build it, they will come. And so they want to recruit this, you know, oftentimes criminal element of transients that go from, you know, they like to run the circuit from Boulder, Colorado, Eugene, Oregon, Seattle, Portland, Missoula, and just take advantage of people and of cities, these liberal cities in particular that offer a lot of nice benefits, for folks who want to take advantage of the system. And you know, I was trying to explain this, you know, to our kids, you know, as we drove past this thing that you know, hey, look, you know, I'm not just going to take video of this tent city and then splash people's faces out there because there are homeless people who actually struggle and need help. But they need accountability. Just saying, hey, yeah, everybody, hey, tent city, big old party out here on the lawn. Yeah, do whatever you want. That doesn't help anybody who's actually homeless. In fact, what it does is it puts people that are struggling, especially in those downtown portions of places like Missoula, it puts them at more risk to crime and drugs. And, you know, you think their kids can go walk around the neighborhood and play if they wanted to? And I made the point that, you know, in places like Billings, for example, they've got Family Promise. They've got the Rescue Mission that are designed to have programs with accountability, that are designed to have programs that are actually trying to get people out of this cycle of poverty and homelessness. But, you know, you get a family, a single mom and some kids that end up being homeless in a place like Missoula. And, you know, they get crowded out because of all of these people that go there to take advantage of the system. And so I was trying to explain how the city of Missoula is actually making it worse on their citizens and causing more problems. And they're not actually helping the people that they keep throwing all this money at here. Anyway, Trevor in Bozeman sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Bozeman HRDC was asking for volunteers to clean up some of the spots where there are tents and campers on city streets and private property. They have a free garbage and still can't clean up after themselves. Trash the streets they don't pay a dime for in city taxes. The city says that 70% have jobs, but when I go by there every Friday at 9 a.m., it's full of people not at work, says Trevor in Bozeman. Trevor, thanks for that message. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970 is the number if you want to jump in on the conversation as well. Let's see. You know, the kind of thinking of what's the next big topic to get to here this morning for you. The debt and the debt ceiling deal, that was a big topic of conversation last week here on this show. We had a number of great guests, a whole different, round of perspectives on the topic. But, you know, looking back on the big picture of it all, you know, there were, you know, House Republicans passed limit, save, grow. Great. All right. And then for whatever reason, Speaker McCarthy, you know, felt he didn't have the political support to stand by and push limit, save, grow. So instead they struck a deal on the debt ceiling deadline, and Democrats were forced to do what they said they would never do and what they were never forced to ever do in recent decades. They actually had to compromise. They had to compromise. Always the Republicans that were compromising before, but now the Democrats finally had to compromise, and they said they would only do a clean debt ceiling hike that, without any strings attached, but they were actually forced to go back on their very word there. And then you have some conservatives criticizing that deal, saying, well, wait a minute, they should have stuck by limit, save, grow. I like the response from Representative Thomas Massey out of Kentucky, who's a solid libertarian / conservative who's got street cred on these issues. And he said, okay, he said, so, yeah, we would have preferred limit, save, grow over this debt ceiling deal here. He said, but why was that even a good deal? Right? Because he's kind of right, because no matter what you want to say about the limit, save, grow, the plan that would have lowered spending and avoided default on the debt, as Thomas Massey pointed out, it still would have increased the debt ceiling. And so, yeah, if you don't think that this debt ceiling deal goes far enough that Speaker McCarthy was able to get across the finish line, given the headwinds that he was facing with weak Republicans in the Senate like Mitch McConnell, not controlling the Senate, not controlling the White House, but you know, we can sit here and virtue signal all we want against that deal. But why was limit, save, grow even a good deal? I mean, it was same concept. Yeah, that was a better deal than what the Democrats have to spend on the books right now. But if we really want to peel this onion back, why would anybody vote to hike the debt ceiling at all? Period. Every single one of them. I mean, all of the House Republicans supported limit, save, grow, which was a hike in the debt ceiling. Now, maybe you like that better than what the final deal ended up being, but Thomas Massey made a great point, which is, why hike the debt ceiling at all? That to me is the big picture. That to me is the big picture. Victor Davis Hanson, the great military historian, great historian, period. Victor Davis Hanson, Stanford University. He was on Fox News with the great Johnny Joey Jones. Joey Jones is the Marine Corps vet that lost both of his legs in Afghanistan. He was on Fox News on Friday night, and I caught part of his conversation with Victor Davis Hanson. And Victor Davis Hanson was talking about the wartime spending that the Biden administration and congressional Democrats have kept us on here. I think Republicans are right. I think Speaker Newt Gingrich is right. You know, maybe this is the first step to start reining some of this in, just like he was able to do in the 1990s. But again, this is the big picture, what Victor Davis Hanson pointed out on Friday night.
I mean, the Americans know that they're headed for Armageddon. And whether it's social spending or defense or whatever it is, that's not sustainable. We're either going to have to print money or renounce the debt or confiscate private wealth. That's what happens historically when you can't fund your country anymore. and they're all oblivion if we go down that route. So we've got a last chance, the 11th hour, and in the next 2 years we've got to do something. This is a stopgap, and we shouldn't be fighting over it. We should be preparing to have a final analysis and solution. We can do that, but not the way we've done it before. And the conservative Republican Party's got to switch and change, and rather than fight with each other in this civil war. This went on in the Bush administration. This went on in the Trump administration. It's got to stop.
All right, that was a segment that was captured. That was from Fox News. But RealClearPolitics.com featured that clip in particular. But if you read the longer transcript, I might have to go back and print it up because I thought that he was going to mention the specific number in that soundbite there. But I know it's in the transcript, so I'll try to find the transcript for you. But if I remember right, he was saying that our debt to GDP ratio right now, I think he said it's 130%. You know, a nation should not long have more debt than the entirety of the nation's economy. That's the debt to GDP ratio. Now, there's typically only been a handful of times when our country has historically had more debt than GDP. We've had a higher debt to GDP ratio, topping 100%. Times like World War II. Now, no matter what you thought of the war on terror, the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, and how long that went on, okay, we as a country were at war then. We are still in wartime spending. Now, even if you think that for a limited amount of time, we should have combated the shutdown of our global economy and the shutdown of our American economy with wartime spending, why are we still in this wartime spending pattern? A nation cannot continue to do this. 130% of GDP is where we are at. And so, again, like VDH was referring to there, so Republicans can sit here and fight each other and complain about each other. Republicans can complain about each other in the House of Representatives, or the House of Representatives can unite and stay united and keep taking the fight on here. Because 130% to GDP, I mean, we can sit here and virtue signal about, well, Limit Save Grow was better. Limit Save Grow was a better deal than what the Democrats have put us on pace to do here. It was better than this debt ceiling deal. Yes. Yeah. 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 Got it. Yeah. Roger. Check. Got it. But what are you going to do about it? Because if you really want to say that shouldn't have had this deal or that deal, then you shouldn't be voting for any debt ceiling hike, period.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
If Biden has taken three tumbles while the cameras are rolling in just the last 115 days, am I the only one that's going to ask the question how many times he might have fallen in private that the White House won't tell us about? I mean, and watching, you know, just how frail and weak he was, and even the effort to pick him up, I mean, It was a heavy lift to be charitable here. And then immediately thereafter, he bumps his head on Marine One right after suffering that fall. You know, he's trying to make jokes about it yesterday. Why am I not finding this funny? Why am I not looking in that video and thinking, oh, no, the world is watching this?
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
You know, inflation is so strong, prices rising, and with the current stock market and its volatility, how's your retirement account doing? Well, the Phoenix Capital Group says the time to diversify your investments is right now, and they're recommending high-value U.S. oil and gas investments with current yields that range from 8% to 12% APY paid monthly. And by the way, they're both Regulation A-plus and Regulation D-corp bond offerings with different maturities, qualifications, and rates. There's also a 9% APY starting at $5,000, open to all investors. Now you can download the Phoenix Capital Group, their free investment guide today. Just go to PHX on Hannity.com. Now, before making any investment decision, you got to very carefully consider and review all the risks involved and learn how you can diversify your investments and earn 8 to 12% APY. Download the Phoenix Group's free investor guide at PHX on Hannity.com.
RVAMontana.com.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios. Trusted by the Northwest. Montana owned. Online at GrizzlyGoldandSilver.com.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, that Victor Davis Hanson soundbite that I shared for you. I wish I could find the full video clip from him on with Johnny Joey Jones on Friday night. I did find a full video clip. He did another interview on Fox, but that was more focused on how corporate America is also selling out America to the communist Chinese. But the full transcript talking about, you know, the debt to GDP ratio and VDH to sounding the alarm on the debt was really the big picture, I think, summing up the whole week. Let's see here. Speaking of communist China, I don't know if you heard this this report about the communist Chinese and the espionage that they have been conducting on some of our military bases on the ground. You know, we've talked about spy balloons and TikTok and so much more. But what about actual on the ground spies trying to infiltrate our U.S. military bases? I'll tell you about that. And much more. But first, let's get into your phone calls here. 406-294-0970. Aaron in Three Forks, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so Victor Davis Hanson, he said that the conservative wing of the Republican Party needs to capitulate to who? The progressive wing of the Republican Party?
Is that what he said?
Well, he said that the conservative wing of the Republican Party needs to quit arguing and get together with the rest of the Republican Party. That's the reason we're in this mess. Our fight as a conservative is to get the Democrats out of the Republican Party. Dan Bongino said it best when he said, there are no Republicans in the Democrat Party, but there are Democrats in the Republican Party. And that's the truth. And getting these progressive Republicans out of here, out of the Republican Party, is key.
Well, I think he would agree with you there. I think the thing is you have conservatives fighting conservatives.
Actually, they're not conservative, though. They're not conservative.
Well,
you got to define the word.
We're talking about
Mitch, define the word.
Mitch McConnell and Mitt Romney. I think my point is that our problem is with these is with the weak Republican leadership in the Senate. So the House can sit here and fight each other all day long, but then you're taking your eye off the ball, which is you're not holding Biden accountable, and you're allowing Mitch McConnell to just sit back and laugh. You're allowing Mitt Romney to just sit back and laugh.
Well, let those guys expose themselves so that the people can see and get them out of there. And I agree with you that the debt ceiling, it should have never have been breached to begin with. But what it would have done if that original bill would have, if they would have stuck to that, is it would have showed some sand. Nobody likes a coward. And Kevin McCarthy showed cowardice. He didn't even send the bill to the Senate, have them amend it and send it back. They said they weren't going to do anything with it. So he himself went up to Joe Biden, groveled at his feet, gave Joe everything he wanted. More Democrats voted for that bill than Republicans. All right. So if more Democrats are voting for a House bill than the Republicans, and the Republicans control the House, it's a Democrat bill.
Well, you could,
so there's a lot of ways you
can
make
that argument. But again, I think the big picture point here is that, why should the debt ceiling be getting raised at all?
They should have shut it down, but we would have had momentum. If they would have passed that bill, if they would have held their ground, then we would have had momentum and we would have showed courage.
Yeah, but the clock was ticking and today was the deadline.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. If Janet Yellen couldn't figure out how to pay off the debt as it came in, There was no debt crisis. That was a manufactured lie.
I get it. But still, at the end of the day, today was the deadline. The Senate isn't budging. The White House, actually they did budge with this debt ceiling. Now, I agree with you. Limit, save, grow was better. Better yet is not hiking the debt ceiling one cent because we are in such dangerous times right now. But again, I think the focus needs to be on the weak-kneed Republicans, Senate leadership like Mitch McConnell and the Mitt Romneys of the world, instead of just House Republicans fighting each other over who's more conservative in that front. I think the House, you used a great word, the House needs to maintain the momentum. Otherwise, they'll just stay fractured, and then, you know, McConnell sits back and laughs, and Biden, well, he shuffles off somewhere. Aaron, great. Hey, if you missed Friday's Montana Talks, we had a great conversation with State Senator Daniel Zolnikoff, who is talking about how Montana is now one of the leading states in the nation to protect your privacy on the internet, not just from the communist Chinese and TikTok, but from all of them with the click of one button. That's what we talked about on Friday's Montana Talks. What do we have coming for you on Monday? Well, you tell us, because Montana Talks is the show where you get to talk. We're statewide from 9 to 10 right here, Monday through Friday.